Get the best odds on all the big games this March. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today.
Welcome back, Action Fanatics. It's your host, Todd Kirk, Mr. Mac here. And it's been a while since soccer. Actually going to have a couple podcasts this week, but my favorite guest, the one and only Dave Esler, is joining me today. We are we're recording on a Tuesday in preparation for the Open, the British Open. I'm really looking forward to this because they canceled it last year. And so you basically have a champion in Shane Lowry who got 2 years with the Claret Jug. And I kind of dig this course. What I'm hearing early is it's soft and it's playing soft. So that brings in a lot of Americans that aren't used to links golf, which I kind of like. I'm pro American. I told Dave that coming in. I think an American's going to win this, but that doesn't mean I have to bet all Americans. So let me welcome him in once again. Dave Esler, welcome back to the Action Fanatics podcast.
Hey, I'm happy to be here again. And I guess with all that said, we didn't bankrupt anybody when we did the last major. So, you know, we have some credibility going in, I guess.
No way at all. And it, you know, the funny thing was, and you and I were texting back and forth during the tournament, that John Rahm in the fourth round thing played out exactly the way he had done it. And it was good to get some money on him late Saturday, at least a decent price. Shoot, I can't even remember. Isn't that the case, man? You just win and you move on. But
yeah. But if you lose, you know it was, you know, you know exactly what it was.
Yeah, it's like last night I had Salvi at plus 1300. The guy got robbed, man.
And you'll remember he had 28 home runs for a long time.
Unbelievable. 28 and he doesn't even get past it. They got to change that format. But anyway, I digress. So, yeah, we'll kind of do what we normally do. What Dave and I do is we kind of just talk. We just opine. There's no set discussion here. I usually start by leading off a little bit and just throwing some names out because Dave, I have no doubt, does a heck of a lot more research into this than I do. Dave is really good at betting golf on a really consistent basis. But one of the things – and I will mention, we're going to have actually later on today. I want to make sure he's still coming. And Trevor's going to join us from Wild Rose Casino up in Jefferson. Trevor Dworak, the GM up there. So thank you to them. They're always been a great sponsor. Obviously, they're partnered with DraftKings and BetRivers. DraftKings had a promotion, Dave, on John Rahm. I think it was right after the Open. They froze him for a while at plus 1200 to win. So I got a little taste of that when that was there. I felt it was worth it. And now, shoot, he's
eight to one, I think.
Yeah. Shoot, DraftKings have him 7 to 1 now.
Wow.
To win it. Minus 120, top 10. I'll just go on the record here. I think that guy is in such a good place. He talked about his mindset. He really said something that I think struck a chord with me. And it was that everything in his life is really good. So he could just go out and golf. And you don't get a 6-shot lead at the Memorial, have to withdraw, come back the next week and win. You know, he is in a good place. He's not only just saying it, Dave, he's proved it. So I think it's hard not to have a little something on him just the way he's playing. What do you think of Rahm?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I just, you know, it's another case of me is I may wait until after the first round. I haven't looked at his particular tee time, but you know, if it's an afternoon tee time, he might not do as well as some of the guys in the morning do when the wind kicks up, and maybe I can get better than 8 to 1. I wasn't as smart as you to take 12 to 1. But the interesting thing there is funny is he's 8 to 1 and Koepka is obviously Koepka and Xander are the second favorites at 18 to 1.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big jump.
I can't believe that. Koepka, well, DraftKings has him 16 to 1. Yeah, you're talking about you're getting two times the money. And his interview earlier today was spot on too. He's like, man, I play well. I expect to play well here. And you can get plus money, plus 160 in a top 10. Love that bet. And listen, folks that have listened to us before, we don't spend a ton of time at these top names, but I think this is the kind of tournament where it really plays out. You can get him at plus 160 for a top 10, plus 350 for a top five. I'm with you on Koepka.
Yeah, I didn't take any of Rahm. I didn't take any of Justin Thomas yet. I probably should. I mean, he's arguably, I believe he's a third ranked golfer in the world, and at 20 or 20.5 to 1, it should be almost an auto bet. But then you look at the rest of the board, and it's like, well, somebody is not going to do well, you know. And I just don't want to be that guy that tried to outthink the room here. To your point, as we've talked before, I don't put a lot of, I don't make a lot of two win bets because only one guy can win.
Yep.
And unless you're pulling out the 100 to 1 guy, I think the value is more in those, as you said, like Koepka top 10 type things.
Yep. Now I hear you. You talked a little bit too, Dave, about Spieth. What are you landing on there that has you liking him so much?
Well, I think that, golf rankings aside, he's arguably the best player in the world right now, just based on recent form. And, the guy went from whatever he was in some of those tournaments 2 months ago before he started to get hot again to being one of the top guys in the world. And I just look at that as sheer value. I mean, his last major came at the last Open held in England, actually. And I think he's a guy that, as you said, it's soft and the greens are a little bit slower than they were anyway. And that's a guy that just loves banging in long putts. And that is the place to do that. So I think you're getting sort of an elite level player at twice the odds of, or three in this case, of what the actual favorite is. So for all those reasons, I think Spieth is someone I probably will throw a little bit on to win.
And I admit fair or not, I'm putting him up in my mind for some reason in this tournament. I'm putting him up against Justin Thomas. And like you said, I'm not the guy that wants to predict the one who's not going to do well. I don't see Justin Thomas playing well in this tournament. I could see Spieth playing better of those two. And I'm wondering, for me, probably the better bet might be try to find and see if there's a head-to-head with those two. Because like you said, Justin's proven it, or Jordan's proven it there. So I like him as well. Granted, gosh, what did he shoot when he won? I'm pulling this up here in 17. Yeah, he's 12 under. That's a darn good score. We've had back-to-back European champions. Usually the run is non-Americans. It doesn't go very long. Maybe three. It wasn't until like the 90s. That's why I'm looking at Americans. So, Jordan there at the top, to complete kind of the comeback season. I could see that too. Kind of like him there. Do you see anything, I'm going to go right from the top to the crazy too, because there's a couple more on the top I want to hit on, but do you see like a Molinari, a Zach Johnson, out of nowhere kind of guy in this tournament, somebody you have your eye on in that vein? Todd Hamilton.
No, John Vandeveld.
Yes.
I have looked at Molinari and haven't done anything with him yet. I actually had Zach Johnson to make the cut last week, being a course that it was mainly for OGs, and he's an OG. So I think this course requires a lot of patience and a lot of creativity, because you're going to have some difficult shots. Not necessarily long shots, just difficult shots. And he's somebody that certainly knows how to do that. I don't know if he can actually win, but I could see him, being a top 20, top 30, making the cut type guy. I mean, the dude just knows how to play these kind of courses.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And the same for Molinari. So I have considered both of them. I have not done anything with either of them yet.
Got it. All right. So let's crack out a couple of the bigger names too, just before kind of move on to maybe those top 20, top 30. So a couple guys I put in the same kind of stratosphere with this tournament is Dustin and Rory. Where are you coming up with those two guys? I think nobody talks about Dustin Johnson. That kind of scares me. He's DraftKings has him at 18-1, +160 for a top 10. Rory's at 18-1 as well. So same numbers. Where do you kind of put those guys?
Well, that's a good question. And you know, Rory is certainly capable of winning, but I think probably for the many of the same reasons that you didn't take Justin Thomas, you just kind of, I don't think, I feel,
yep.
which is kind of a scary way to do things, but it's what we do. I did the same thing with Rory, and I don't know why. One of the reasons I looked at, you know, it's going to be windy here. I mean, it always is. And Wendy's apex height, Rory's apex height off the tee is the highest in the PGA.
Yep.
I mean, that can't be a good thing, especially when you factor in these fairways to where you can hit one right down the middle, but if you hit one of those mounds just in the wrong place, you're going to be in the brush. I mean, it's just going to roll off. So I don't know, for that reason. Now, to your point about DJ, I haven't taken him a lot. I think it's another one of those things to where I just don't think. I just don't feel. But interesting stat that I read yesterday, 7 of the 9 previous winners were over 32. Hmm. Seven of the 8 previous winners were top 20 or better in at least one of the first 3 majors. 14 of the last 15 previous winners were T9 or better at this event in a previous year. There are not a lot of people that fall into that category. Dustin Johnson is one of them. So I'm not a huge trends guy, but that one kind of struck me. So I do have a little bit on Dustin Johnson. And just another bet I made based strictly on that is Ricky Fowler at 85-1. He's one of only a couple of guys in the field that have met all those criteria. And those bets for me were more, God, I know all this stuff going in. If I don't and they win, I'm going to get really pissed. So I probably better do something with him. So yeah, to your point, I took DJ. I did not take Rory. I may regret that, but you know, again, that's not based on anything other than, you know, I just have seen him blow up at the wrong time too many times.
And he didn't even make the cut there at the Scottish Open.
No.
He's not in form this year. You could say it's gut, but it's also what we're seeing too. He's just not in form this year. And it's kind of like Tommy Fleetwood. You and I have talked about him a lot. And I know, pardon me, he played well in this last year, but he's not in form. Now, does that mean they won't play well? No. But guys who are, you know, 30s, Lee Westwood was T4 here last year. Like you said, Ricky, I'm not sure how old Hatton is, but he's one of my foreigners that I like.
I think he's 28 because I looked. I could double check, but I don't think he fit all three of those criteria. But yeah, you know,
You got Brooks. What's Finau? Finau finished third. Wow, and Reed was 10th. But yeah, I mean, Lowry ran away with it. I think, you know, for looking at that, gosh, that makes me like Koepka even more kind of coming into this. But Ricky Fowler, what'd you say he was at to win?
Last night he was 85-1. I have not looked this morning.
Jeez.
I know he hasn't been playing super well, but, you know, does he have the talent to do it? I mean, absolutely.
And he's got the ball flight.
I think he's 85-1.
Yeah. So you're going to get, let's see if I can find him here on DraftKings, +600 for a top 10. That's not a bad take here. Lee Westwood, surprisingly up there. I like Hatton. I for some reason, I like Hatton on that end of it. All right, real quick, I want to give one other name because everybody's talking about him. And by the way, Patrick Reed is a little bit further up there than I thought, but he's still +400 for a top 10. And Hatton is right there with him at +300. I know you like Matt Fitzpatrick. You know, he played well. in the Scottish Open, didn't finish like you wanted to. Have you been digging into him at all for this tourney?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I have him on my list right now, sort of with Tommy Fleetwood, as I really need to dig a little deeper. And one of the reasons I haven't just jumped on Fitzpatrick, because of, for all the reasons you could mention, okay, he's British, he's this, he's that, yada, yada, he's got talent, is because everybody else already is.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I don't know that I want to follow the herd, but also for that reason, because everybody else already is, his odds have come down to a point where, you know, maybe I want to just wait, because I wasn't smart enough to take him at some number better than 30-1. But yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, we could name 50 guys that we probably won't talk about that could win this tournament.
Yep.
And, you know, and here we are talking about, you know, guys that, you know, aren't necessarily chalk. I mean, Ricky's 85-1, but, you know, the last two times this tournament was played here at Royal St. George, the winners were Darren Clark at 2011, who was 150-1.
Yeah.
And pre-tournament anyway. And in 2003, Ben Curtis, who was anywhere from 300-500-1. So, you know, I don't think you can throw those guys out. I mean, two-thirds of this field can win.
That is amazing. That's right. So you're talking about Ben Curtis, who didn't do anything after that. Obviously, Darren had a pretty storied career. That was a big major. Was that his first major, too? First and only?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
First and only. So there's something to say about that. I kind of dig that. It makes me start to think about maybe somebody who's in that vein that could come up and claim this one. You know, Patty. Well,
I look at a guy like Russell Henley.
Yeah.
100-1. I mean, that to me, that should be a bet. You know, we're talking about the OGs and the people that know how to play on a course like this. Adam Scott, 110-1. And he's been in great form lately.
Yeah, he has played well.
So, you know, I think we can sit here and talk about, you know, I think we have to throw that out there for people, because, you know, we'll sit there and talk about guys that most people have heard of, and you know, you'll get a Darren Clark or a Ben Curtis, and we didn't even sort of throw that out there. And I think a lot of those guys are actually probably live, at least for, you know, for top tens and whatnot. You know, I mean, I like Louis to win as well.
Yeah, and, he's been hot this year. That's
I know that's one of those. You know, he's you know.
He's 25-1 on DraftKings.
Yeah, I think he was 28-1 last night. So there again, people are sort of coming around to that. But, you know, I love a guy like Louis. He's number one in shots gained putting. I mean, I think he's played 142 consecutive holes without a three putt. So he's not going to play himself out of the tournament.
Right.
With the Jean Vandeveld 18th hole. So, you know, I don't know how you don't at some point put him in there. I mean, it's kind of like Finau. Okay, well, he never wins. Well, one day he's going to. And like
he is.
Like Louis has been, what, 10 or 11 years since he last won, and it was a major. I believe it might have even been this one. I'm not sure. But, you know, do I want to be that guy that just kept saying, well, Louis is only going to finish top 10 and not bet him top 10 and not have anything on him to win? So, yep. Yeah, I think I like Louis. I like Harris English a little bit.
I have always liked him. He's consistent. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a guy that he hasn't played since that 8-hole playoff at the Travelers, I don't believe. And you know, if nothing other than a character builder for that 18, yep, for that 8-hole, I mean, he might not crack it. You know, he was third at the US Open. So, I mean, it's not like he's in uncharted waters. My thought there was, you know, maybe he's a little unfamiliar with links courses, but, you know, here you have the 12th ranked golfer in the world at roughly 60-1.
Yeah, which is nuts.
You know, and I think that's going to continue to happen because, you know, Harris English is a great player. He's 12th in the world. He showed his medal at the Travelers, but, you know, everybody is, you know, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, you know, Koepka. So that's where all the money goes. So the odds on those guys get less attractive, meaning the odds on the 12th best golfer in the world at 60-1 get exponentially more attractive.
Yes. And I'd be remiss. All right. So I'm going to bring, you got me thinking, which you always do, Dave. I'm going to bring him up. Boozenhoop, you know, that's my guy.
Yeah, man.
That's my guy.
I knew you would.
He's a top tenner for me, easy, and I'll probably do a 20 and a 30, but he's plus 600 top 10. He has played well in every major. I love this kid, and I love his story. But here, so you were talking, all right? And the two people that make sense, that kind of out of nowhere first major that fit this course, like a Ben Curtis. All right, I'm just going to go with these two. Paul Casey and Tony Finau. So Finau finished third here last time. He's 45-1. Casey is 35-1 on DraftKings. Kind of fit that mold. The guys are kind of there. They haven't won one yet. I mean, you could still get them top 10, 300 and 400, plus 300, plus 400. I'm going to play those guys kind of across the board.
I agree with you there. Right now, personally, I have Casey in with that list of Fleetwood and Fitzpatrick that I need to revisit. Finau, I'm on him. You know, the guy's 17th in the world golf rankings. He's had seven top 10s. You know, the knock on his game is obviously putting, but you know, slower greens, bigger greens. You know, the guy was 10th at the Masters. He was eighth at the PGA. He missed the cut at the Open, and he hasn't played since another missed cut at the Travelers. But I went back and looked. His last three Opens, in reverse order, he was third, T9, and T27. So
love it.
So the trajectory is going in the right direction.
Right.
So I looked at that and I said, you know, 45-1, you know, how do you not? And I think there's a guy that I will put in the top 10 or so somewhere for a lot of the reasons. I'll put your boy Christian in there. You know, I used him top 30 plus 180. I mean, I don't want to be greedy, but, you know, can you spot the pattern? You know, at the PGA, I think he was T5 entering the final round, and I think he shot a 77.
He had a rough one.
And at the U.S. Open, I think he was T9, and I think he shot a 76. So, you know, I don't want to buck that pattern and put him 10th, but I'll put him 30th. So, and I looked at him knowing that you would probably bring him up, you know. I mean, I'll tell you another bet I like with Christian. 80-1 first-round leader. I mean, this is a tournament that I will absolutely use all early tee times as first round leaders on Thursday.
Yeah, you like those bets. Well,
and at this course, I mean, you know what the afternoons look like.
Right.
I mean, it can be blowing 30.
Yep.
So I won't take anybody that doesn't tee off after say, you know, 7 or 8. And, you know, I got him in there, and I threw Sam Burns in there at 80-1 because both of those guys do have early tee times. So, you know, another guy I threw in there was Scottie Scheffler at 50-1. I actually really like him this week. You know, it's a guy that hasn't won yet, but people might forget he's only 25. And, you know, last three majors, T4, T19, T8, obviously downside, no Britishes yet, but he did play well last week in the Scottish. He was T12. So, you know, people point to someone who's never won in the PGA Tour, but as I said, that's, you know, let me just give you Ben Curtis. And another thing about Scheffler, I don't know, for those that haven't watched this tournament, you know, you can get like 20, 30 yards off the green and have like really tough pitch shots on this course because of the mounds and the undulations. And there's a stat proximity to the pin from 20 to 30 yards out. And he's near the top in that stat. So, and the other thing, I watched him yesterday warming up, and he was showing people how to hit a stinger, you know, which you might need in these conditions. And in this course, length is not really going to matter. I mean, arguably Bryson's Bryson, but you know, these fairways will roll out. So, you know, guys like Brian Harman might be just fine. But I watched Scheffler hit three of them, and man, they didn't get 10 feet off the ground and they were like lasers just out there. So I said, that's it. I'm going to use Scheffler somewhere. So I've used him in a few places as well, Todd.
I like Scott. Yeah. And he played well at the Scottish too, which
exactly.
is
exactly,
which you know, that, it means
that was my caveat that he hadn't played sort of the British thing, but he played last week at the Scottish and he played well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, he can't be lacking confidence going in.
What I'm bringing him up again, but he's just been, I mean, two wins this year. He's won this before. Stewart Cink, man. I got to find him a top 20, top 30. He hasn't played well lately. I'm going to see where he's going to come in for top 30. And Cameron Smith, he's played well lately. Where is Sankey boy? Plus 300 for top 30 for Stewart Cink. I like that play.
I can see that for any of the OGs, you know.
We talked about
Zach Johnson or some of these other guys that they just know how to play golf.
Yep.
You know, the thing, the knock for me on Cink is this isn't necessarily his type of course. You know, he does well at a place like Harbortown where he won. Where the fairways are super narrow and the greens are super small. And this is like the opposite of that. So for that reason, I have a little bit of trepidations, but hey, it's Stewart Cink. The guy's been around forever. He knows how to play every course there is. He's certainly not going to get rattled. I mean, he's out there having a blast with his son caddying for him. I mean, how bad can that suck? You know, I mean, he can just go have fun. So yeah, absolutely. You know, top 30 in there. I can totally get behind that.
And he has the unfortunate tag of probably the worst major winner ever because Tom Watson finishing second. You know, I don't think anybody pulled for Stewart Cink unless their last name was Cink.
Absolutely.
That was an all-timer. All right, so we've kind of given those names. I, as everybody knows, I'll post my updates on the Cyclone Fanatic forum. It'll be on Twitter as well. Dave, anybody we didn't cover that may be a good kind of because you do well on these first round leaders. I'm not as savvy as you, so I do avoid those. I tried to find a matchup that I liked with Spieth versus Thomas. I'm not seeing that, unfortunately. But anything like, you know, making the cut, any of the turning props,
I mean, another guy that's playing well, Sam Burns.
Yeah.
I like him. You know, he was actually, I believe, T18 at the Scottish Open, 68, 67, 66. So, you know, presumably he can play these courses. You know, for him to make the cut at only minus 225, I mean, you know, I know that's steep, but that's what make the cuts are. And I think T30 at plus 200. Another guy we usually get to that we didn't, Morikawa. Well, you know, he's won a major.
I know.
He's fourth in the PGA in shots from those 20 to 30 yards. So, you know, I don't think he tees off early. I did like him as 45-1 first round leader, but I got to put him somewhere. I think you briefly mentioned Patrick Reed.
Yep.
You know, he plays his best in the biggest events. And I think this type of course suits his game. And it puts less of a premium on driving, which is, I think, that the weakness in his game. And, you know, at 40-1, I mean, that seems like a steal. And you know, top 30 for plus 125 is like, how do you not? Lee Westwood, 56-1. I mean, did Mickelson just not show you that OGs can win? You know, Westwood to make the cut at minus 175, I think, is a bargain. You know, Xander, I mean, how many top tens has he had in majors? Like, a lot. I mean, yeah, like
he's automatic, isn't he?
Okay, so play him top 10 plus 175. I mean, that's kind of not really requires an awful lot of thought. You know, I guess I could probably stop there. I mean, I like Kisner, I like Jason Day. You know, he's been playing well. His last two starts, he was 14th and 10th, and you know, he's another one that his style should suit this course, and you know, sticking him at top 30 at plus 140, you know, I mean, that's something that I would do. And you know, those are guys that I've kind of gone through. And Patrick Cantlay, I mean, I, you know, we haven't talked about him. The guy's in beast mode.
He's leading. He's the FedEx.
Exactly. You know, where am I going to put him? I don't know yet. But that's another guy that I believe he's in the top 10 in those, you know, 20 to 30 yard little approach shots in terms of proximity to the pin. So, you know, I think we have to eventually find a place to put him somewhere. And why is the guy that's the FedEx Cup leader 30-1 to win when he's actually been playing well lately?
So true.
There again, I think, you know, he's a household name to you and I, but he's not a household name to the casual fans, you know, and the casual fans are betting, you know, Rory and Bryson and Brooks and Rahm, which again means these guys, you know, that are sort of the next tier guys you're getting great prices on. I mean, yep. You know, Victor Hovland and Neiman, I think are both guys that obviously have the talent, and you know, I think I will probably use one of them, Neiman, I think, first round leader, and Hovland as well, because they also both have early tee times Thursday. And, you know, clearly there's no pressure at that point. So, you know, why wouldn't you? So, yeah, I mean, we could probably go on for hours about, well, you didn't talk about, so, well, you know, I mean, it's not easy. And
so that leads me to this too, Dave, because I think that this will help the audience as they listen, because for this some reason this tournament we got a lot of names. We haven't even talked about Justin Rose. You can see him coming up, you know, making a play here. But I want to talk about Cantlay, like you said, on DraftKings, 35-1. But let's talk Sam Burns, folks, 130-1. He's already won this year. Yeah,
exactly.
He's top 11 in the Fed. Like, what a play! He's young. He's 24. He's young. But you want to take a flyer on a player who's in really good form this year, has got six top tens. You could get Sam Burns at 9-1 for a top 10. Love that. But so Dave, this is what I wanted to get to. And we can, cause you know, you and I can go out all day. How many bets will you play? I mean, kind of lay it out, like your strategy to a major.
Well, I think my strategy to a major isn't really any different than it is for a regular tournament, to be honest with you, Todd. I mean, you know, my answer to that would be, you know, how's your strategy for the Super Bowl versus week seven? Or how's your strategy for the Big 12 championship versus, you know, Iowa State, Iowa, or whatever, you know, it really shouldn't change. And it won't, you know, I'll pick three or four guys to win and I'll put a little bit of money on them. I've got to spread the risk around.
Yeah.
Because, you know, part of this is to make money. The other part of it is to have a little bit of fun. So, you know, what I don't want to do is get myself in a position where Friday morning I'm going, well, hell, 9 of my 10 guys aren't even going to make the cut. That's going to suck on the weekend. So, you know, I think my bread and butter is and always has been those top 10s through top 40s.
Love it.
So
love it.
If I play three or four guys to win, you know, I usually play one long shot and then I can say, well, how cool was I when he wins, or what did you expect when he loses, and a couple of favorites, but I'll probably play upwards of 15 or 20 of the top 20s. And I will, you know, I won't go top 10 at plus 900 because I don't want to be greedy, because so many times, I think we talked about this the last time, you'll have a guy top 10 or top 20 and he'll be 20th with three groups left on the course.
Right.
And some of those guys have no reason to continue playing. They're not going to win, but they'll make the third birdie of the day on 18 and sneak themselves into 20 and your guy into 21. Like, you know, so at plus 200 for a top 20, why didn't I just do plus 160 for top 30?
You know, I love it.
Why be greedy? You know, I mean, it's not as cool, but you know, part of this is the coolness factor and part of it is making money.
Amen. And I think golf affords us, unlike a lot of sports, that opportunity to bet those top 30s, top 40s, where you can have fun and you can still get nice odds. But it allows us, and you mentioned this earlier too, it allows us to adapt. And so as you're watching things play out, you see somebody where they are, kind of moving that striking distance. It's fun to play that. Okay, hey, I've watched him play two rounds. I've played the best. Just made the cut. Well, I could see him squeaking in for a top 30. Or you've got that player you know has played well, and you want to put a little something. The odds have come more your way. Say Rom, you know, shoots five under. The leader's at eight. You probably get nice odds still. You know, there's things like that you need to watch with golf, but I'm with you. I put a lot of my bets on the 20s and 30s, and sometimes the 40s, just depending on the player. I've, for some reason, I'm betting Taylor Gooch. It's my cousin's nickname, so I'm going to play a little Taylor.
Solid handicapping there, Tom.
Yes, isn't that great?
That was a deep dive, I got to tell you.
I got to take Taylor Gooch. I've never bet on Taylor Gooch. But there's like this tournament to me, once I got into it, I'm like, there's so many players that I will have a lot of bets like you, Dave, in the top 30s. Because I want to make money. I'm not just going to throw away a couple of $100 at a golf tournament and just hopes of, because I'd watch it anyway, in just hopes of losing money. Let's get out there and win. And I think that strategy, like you said, don't get greedy. Have a couple winners because you want to have that bragging time with the guys over beers. But be smart about it. Look at those further down the field, the 30s and 40s, you can make some money that way too.
Yeah, I should also tell you that it's Tuesday and I'm already playing my practice rounds, because this morning, I'm on Eastern time. So this morning I was up at 4:17, and I don't ever get up before the sun gets up. I mean, I used to years ago, that was my life, but now it's like, why? And I was up at 4:17. So I'm in practice mode for those early rounds Thursday.
I love it. Yeah. I mean, it's on, and they played through the whole thing. I love this tournament. The bad part is it finishes early, but yeah, you do.
Sunday sucks when it's 2:00 and it's over.
Yeah. You know, that's when you want, that's when it's time to go golf.
Yeah, that's a touche. Good point. I hadn't thought about that, because I know the other side of that will be my wife wanting me to do something that wasn't on my list of things to do. So yeah, I think I need to make a tea time for 3:00.
There you go. I love it. We figured it out, Dave. Man, I cannot thank you enough, friend. You've been awesome to me. You are easily reachable at Dave_Essler on Twitter. Dave is always on Betting Predators podcasts with Sleepy J there. He is always on a lot with RJ Bell and the Dream Pod, Dream Preview. I'm sure you do some Straight Out of Vegas work too. Dave, you're just you're a great guy. You gave a little Iowan like me who's got a Rinky Dink podcast a chance. And I tell you what, I know our listeners are appreciative, because you do the homework. You've been doing this a long time, and you know, you're someone who we could emulate, look up to. So thanks again for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure. I mean, you know, I just want to close out my segment here by saying, you know, people look at me and, oh my God, he's a professional this and he's on this radio show. Well, dude, I put my shoes on one at a time, just like you. Okay. The only difference between me and you is experience. And all that really means is I've made way more mistakes than you.
Yes. Thank God. I got to learn from it, man. I got to
Exactly. Yes. And anybody that is sort of one of those people on that does what I do, that tells you, oh, I've always been good my whole life, and they're full of shit.
It's so true, man. The ones who wants to talk about their winners. But hey, if I could show you, I put my stuff out on the, usually during football, basketball, and the Action Network apps to show people what I do. I'm not good at all this stuff. And everybody knows I got into this hockey tournament for Bet Rivers, and they were awesome. They were so gracious. They gave us 250 to start with. I put everything on the Toronto Maple Folds and they crushed me. And I didn't realize they do this all the time. And so here I was. I was the first guy out of the hockey tournament. So, yeah, I lose too.
You know, you can blame that on COVID. I mean, you still got the whole Canada thing where they let, you know, 3,000
people. Nobody there.
3,000 people in the stadium, but 30,000 people outside of it. Makes perfect sense to me, you know. But I shouldn't say that because actually the guy did help Montreal. I mean, they went all out further.
They went all the way.
Exactly. So, yeah, but Toronto, I guess they just need fans.
Yeah, they do.
You know, you didn't do the deep dive handicapping on that one. I mean,
it was the dumbest thing that I did, and I committed to it, Dave. I made sure 100%. We're all talking back and forth, you know, on Twitter, and you know, Bet Rivers is doing a really good job promoting it. There's a trophy, and I went back to back to back, and I lost my stack. 3-1, they were ahead and they lost the series.
Well, you know, at least I know a guy like you that's a professional person, if you will, probably didn't go on Twitter and say, hey, look at me. You know, you don't count them chickens yet, buddy.
No, I did the hashtag Toronto Maple Folds, and forever I will remember that. Well, that's all good.
And now I will too. Matter of fact, I think Sunday to commemorate the end of the British Open, I will change my Twitter name to Toronto Hash Folds for at least the day. And maybe I'll even change my avatar for a day. I'll take a screenshot of you on Zoom.
Yeah, thank you.
That'll be my avatar, my flowers at the grave thing for you.
Travis Dvorak joining us, guys. I didn't even do him the justice of bringing him in the right way, but we transitioned from Dave and British Open Talk to Travis. Travis is a GM at Wild Rose Casino and Hotel up in Jefferson. Wild Rose has been behind Action Fanatics since the start. As you guys probably heard, you know some of my story too. I just happen to have a family member who helped start the casino, but that's why it runs in my blood. And that's why I started the podcast to begin with, because gambling and my last name are synonymous. But Travis, how long have you been up there now?
I've worked for Wild Rose for 15 years. Well, 2006, so 15 years of Wild Rose.
I didn't even realize that.
I started in Emmitsburg, was there for 8 years, spent a couple years in Clinton, and then I spent the last 5 years here in Jefferson. To go back, by the way, I just looked, I sent you the email. The fight on Saturday, doors open 5:30.
Ooh.
First punches start at 6:30.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I've worked for Wild Rose for 15 years, but specifically running Jefferson for the last five.
Nice. All right. You're in the family then. That's pretty cool. What about as we get toward, obviously, I'm kind of a promoter. You know, you've had the Chantourage group up there. As we get into football season, anything fun going on with the sports book and football particular, or is it something too that we just need to pick a good Saturday maybe when the teams are on the road and get a crew up there?
All the above.
All right.
we're currently working with DraftKings. We're currently working with Bet Rivers, and we've added Circa, and Circa is going to start in August. So I don't know if you've heard.
What?
Circa Sports has teamed up with Wild Rose.
Travis, you guys knocked it out of the park. I mean, those three partners.
Yes.
I'm not, you know me, there's no BS here. Folks, you know betting. Circa and what they're doing is around sports gambling is second to none, in my opinion, second to none. Obviously, they've got the Visa folks. They've got it now. Hotel that's, I think it's 18 and over with the pool and the, I mean, it's.
World's largest sports book.
Yeah, just check out Circa. And then Bet Rivers, who's done a phenomenal job, and they do a great job out there marketing. They're great in how they approach it. And then DraftKings, I think, in my opinion, I haven't seen the Circa app. It's the best app out there, in my opinion. You guys knocked it out of the park.
You know, little Wild Rose and little Jefferson, Emmitsburg, yeah. Clinton, and here we are bringing in DraftKings. We're bringing in Circa. We're bringing in Bet Rivers. I think it's great. I know a lot of people think William Hill's the big boy, and they probably are internationally. And I'm not really bad mouthing them, but I'll put up my apps against theirs any day.
100%.
And that's a credit to DraftKings and BetRivers and Circa. Gary's got a really good group of people in the Des Moines office, the corporate office, our president, Tom Timmons. And then he's got a right-hand man named Rick Gelson. They're the ones that are doing these deals and making these negotiations. I just get told the good news. So I've had nothing to do with getting them, but I get the pleasure of working with them. So all their credit goes to Tom Timmons and Rick Gelson and all that, what they're doing down there in the Des Moines office and the corporate office there in West Des Moines. So, yeah, I'm excited. Circa is going to have a party. John Liebel will get information out when it's time. John Liebel is actually working with Circa. We're going to have basically a launch party in August. I think we're going to do it at Wellman's there.
Yeah.
And I think that's the initial plan. I hope that's the final plan. So, John, we'll get that out there, because I think if the Action Fanatics are out there during the launch of the circuit, that'd be tremendous.
Yeah, you name it. I mean, that's, you know, COVID kind of struck at the worst time, quite frankly, Travis. I mean, we were just getting our legs, but we still kept going. Russian
table tennis that way.
I bet so much Korean baseball. I mean, when that came out, it was awesome.
Belarusian soccer.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, we've grown, and that's the cool thing. I've grown into sports. I've grown into, you talk about soccer. I'm a huge soccer fan now. Love gambling on it, but there's so much to do. And I don't think the story could be told enough. Like you said, little old Wild Rose Casino in Iowa. You know, here's Travis has been there 15 years. You're talking about major gaming companies that you all have partnered with. And what's to come, I think, is going to be phenomenal. So I am super excited, Travis, about the prospects. And I've said this before, now that COVID's over, as best as I can, with a guy with a real 9-to-5 job and 3 boys and a wife, I'll go anywhere, anytime, about if it's around sports, because they all like coming and doing it too. But, it's just really cool to partner with you guys, because it's like a rocket, man. It's just get on and go.
And it's so cool for all of our partners, Action Fanatics, KXNL Radio, Cyclone Fanatics, Chantourage. Now we're talking to KGYM and Todd Brommelkamp over there. We're talking to Morehouse and Iowa Podcast. I mean, we are serious about our sports betting. We're bringing on serious companies, and we're working with serious podcasters and radio shows, because – if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right, aren't we?
You might as well. I mean, that's so true. It's like, go with the best.
And when you wonder why DraftKings is – why Jefferson DraftKings is beating Prairie Meadows, William Hills, that's why.
It's 100%. It's always why. It's always the people. It's always the product second, in my opinion. It's the people first, because you do it right and with the right people, the right intentions, the product takes care of itself. Crazy thing is, you, like you said, Tom and the crew back at corporate office, they crushed it, man. I've been following this business for before it came to Iowa. I was ready to jump in. Chris, well, you guys all know the story. Chris and Ross gave me a shot, and Chris latched on, and he's kind of turned me loose now. But it was those three companies, and then the last one you bring in, unbelievable. Travis, I'm super happy for you all, and I'm really bummed we haven't done this before. We got to do it again, okay? Definitely more frequent.
Absolutely. I love it. Did you get my information from DraftKings?
I got it. Good. I got it.
And that's what's great about DraftKings and BetRivers, hopefully Circa. You got questions, we contact them, and boom, you've got some stats.
It's amazing.
The only reason why BetRivers didn't, you've had Troy Macker on your podcast before.
Oh, Troy did a great job.
Yeah, he didn't send much to me because he just became a father, and he's at home. Him and his wife are at home with the little one right now, so he gets a pass.
Yes,
but
no, it's listen,
before you know Troy.
Yeah, he's just a great dude. I hope we get to meet people from Circa and DraftKings down the road. But Troy's awesome. He's been in the business, sports business before. He knows his stuff. He used to be a podcaster, so. He gets what I'm doing too. So, I mean, the partnership for me is, I mean, you can tell I'm passionate about what I do. I love it. This is going to be my gig as I retire and get later in life, but, we're winning too. I mean, that's the thing. We're giving out good advice. We're getting great guests like you, the guy who was on before, Travis, I don't know if you know Dave Esler, he's nationally he's on national shows. You know, he's been doing this forever. And these are people you just reach out to because you respect. And it's amazing the correspondence I get back. So the growth of this is cool. I can't wait to be on site now that everything's clear. And I just may take you up. I may bring my 12-year-old up for some boxing on Saturday.
Absolutely. Let me know. We'll get you set up.
I love it. Travis, we'll do it again. I'm going to throw it out. We'll do it. We'll do it monthly just to catch up, but I really appreciate it, folks. New app coming your way, but you don't have to go to the casino necessarily to get the app. So you get the DraftKings app, get the BetRivers app. But a lot of cool stuff going on at the casino. Obviously some concerts I'm sure coming. Wild Rose Casino and Hotel up in Jefferson. Travis, thanks again for joining us.
Oh, it's an honor and pleasure to be on your podcast.